G'day all you Formula One fans, and this is the wrap-up to the Austrian Grand Prix. Now, we predicted it was going to be a good one, and well, the 2025 edition truly delivered. Plenty of on-track action, and of course, plenty of talking points. Now, it was a magnificent McLaren masterclass. Domination, 1-2 finish. But more importantly, Lando Norris, what a way to silence his critics. It was a true champion's drive. Then we come to Red Bull, hometown race. We expected so much more, and well, we got a horrific weekend. Max Verstappen, DNF on lap one. Surely this puts a massive dent into his driver title defense. Kick Sauber, two drivers in the top 10. Awesome to see Bortoleto picking up his first career Formula One points. And Liam Lawson, what an effort. Career best P6 for the young Kiwi. I'm extremely happy for him. This must take a lot of pressure off his shoulders. Now, plenty more to talk about. Let's just get stuck straight into it. We knew the hot conditions were going to fall into McLaren's hands. Looking at the results, it's pretty obvious to see. Quite a big lead over P3, Charles Leclerc, almost 20 seconds. And then when we look down to P5, over a minute ahead of George Russell. Saturday qualifying, obviously Lando Norris, he took a brilliant pole, about half a second quicker than his nearest rival, Charles Leclerc. Oscar Piastri, probably a little bit of disappointment there in Q3. Unfortunately for him, his final run in Q3 was compromised due to Pierre Gasly bringing out the yellow flags near the end. So perhaps we could have seen a little bit more. Now, the race itself, again, very hot conditions. Most of the top 10, they were starting off on the medium tyre. Pierre Gasly, the odd man out in P10, starting on the soft. For the majority of the drivers, it ended up being a two-stopper with just the two drivers, Liam Lawson and Fernando Alonso, making the one-stopper work in their favour. Now, the formation lap, we had poor old Carlos Sainz stalling on the grid, which meant he had to start from pit lane. Got into pit lane, almost ready for the start of the second attempt of the green light. But unfortunately for him, rear brake problems. They've generated so much temperature that it caught fire. So he was a non-starter for the race. So only the 19 cars. Now we know the first lap of Austria can be extremely hectic. And well, we got action within a few corners. And that was Kimi Antonelli putting on his best torpedo impression. And to be honest, pretty lucky he only took out the one car. But unfortunately, that one car was none other than Max Verstappen. Now, I want to give a massive shout out to Andrea Stella and Zach Brown, allowing these guys to race and race aggressively. Because if you look at what happened in Canada, they could have come into this weekend with team orders and they could have been a lot more conservative for the race. Well, those first few laps, we saw a lot of effort from Piastri to try and make the pass. And particularly, you could say the first 20 laps. Now, Oscar had a moment where he did make the pass in the first DRS zone. But when you get through that first DRS zone into that tight right-hander, you then go into the next DRS zone, long straight into the next right-hander. And well, Lando was able to then retake the lead. Now, I think Oscar, in hindsight, look back at the race and think there were a few things that he could have done a lot different. And I think there was one moment there where he got into that first DRS zone and he could have made that overtake, but he wanted to be a bit more patient based on what happened last time to make sure that he then had the DRS zone for that second straight. But unfortunately for him, Lando got the better exit and was able to cover him off. A little bit later in the race, of course, there was almost a massive mishap. Oscar Piastri locking a wheel and almost running up the back of Lando Norris. And then obviously we got the message from McLaren, and obviously rightly so, to basically tell him to cool his jets. Lando was able to come into the pits first, and that left Oscar out. And they did give him an option of when to pit. But he ended up staying out there for an extra four laps. And to be honest, I think that was a little bit detrimental in the end. He didn't get that advantage in that next stint with the fresher tire, which was only four laps. So looking back, when Lando went into the pits, he had around a 1.5 to 2 second lead. And then after Piastri came out of his pits a few laps later, well, Lando had grown that lead to around 5 seconds. So it was definitely a net gain for Lando. And Oscar was able to close the gap a little bit towards the end, but there was definitely not enough time. So they went two stoppers, they made it work, and it was a great 1-2 to McLaren. Well, the Red Bull circus grows and grows. Max Verstappen, a DNF, obviously through no fault of his own, but that has put a massive dampener on his title aspirations. Possibly might be kissed goodbye at this point. He's over 50 points away from Oscar Piastri. Still a lot of races to go, lots of points on the table, but that Red Bull looked like a handful all weekend, and we know just how good they go around here, particularly Max, a multi-time winner here. So it was struggle street pretty much the whole weekend. He qualified P7. Even on the grid at P7, you still expect Max to feature in the race quite heavily. I was thinking a P3 was definitely in the realms of possibility, but unfortunately, a DNF. Now, the other side of the garage, that is the pressure cooker. The problem I see with Yuki Tsunoda is that he's not making any progress race to race, and I just don't know how long Red Bull are going to be patient with this. I think they're coming near the end, and we know that mid-season break is coming up. So maybe we do see some changes there. Not too sure. The race itself for Yuki, look, he qualified. He was knocked out in Q3, so already on the back foot with a P18 qualifying. But the race itself was scrappy. He got tied up with Colapinto. I think he even managed to get a 10-second penalty for causing a collision, if I remember correctly. He just looked like a driver that was driving with a lot of pressure on him. He was just forcing moves. Yeah, I'm really feeling for poor old Yuki here because we know he's a better driver than that. But on the grand scheme of things, Red Bull, when they changed Liam Lawson, when they made the promotion of Yuki Tsunoda, one of the key things they said was that Yuki bought experience and that he would be able to help develop the car or at least figure out where some of the problems lie. Well, post-race interviews with Yuki, he's even admitting he's quite clueless. He doesn't know where the pace is. So it just doesn't look good. And I quite fear for Yuki's career. And well, like I said, the midsummer break is coming up and we may see Red Bull force their hand. Let's see. Now, Ferrari, they'll be pretty happy. I think they'll be pretty optimistic with the results of the weekend. P3 for Charles Leclerc, obviously a good qualifying with P2, and Hamilton qualifying P4, and, well, he ended up P4, didn't he? Now, yes, they are still a long way off the pace when you look at McLaren, and perhaps it's not a true story because we didn't see the best of Max Verstappen in the Red Bull, of course, and we definitely didn't see the best of Mercedes, particularly in the hot conditions. We know the Mercedes struggled, so maybe it's a little bit too early to judge those upgrades for Ferrari, but we'll see in Silverstone how things pan out. But I think it was probably a step in the right direction. And I think if you are a Ferrari fan, there is something to be optimistic about. Good points in the end. You know, they are fighting for P2 in the championship, and that is still an important fight. Lots of money on the table for that. So the jury's still out, I would say, on the upgrades. Let's see how they go in Silverstone. Now, Mercedes, like I mentioned, the hot conditions, it's been 2 years now, and they still haven't got on top of that. Now, Kimi, terrible race, qualified P9, Q3, so no complaints there. George Russell, P5, ended up P5, of course. Very consistent, always getting points. Now, Kimi, they will definitely expect him to bounce back in Silverstone. George, we still don't know where he's going to be in 2026. He's driving extremely well. Like, I mean, he is extremely consistent. I would be surprised if he's not locked into a Mercedes contract and the announcement comes this week coming into Silverstone. But then there's the rumors of Max Verstappen, and then you look at the Red Bull weekend and it's like, well, who knows? But it's going to be really interesting to see how that all plays out. Now, one I'm excited for, the Racing Bulls. Liam Lawson finally getting a complete weekend. And now I look really closely into Liam Lawson about how he's progressing. I look at all the practice sessions, lap times, etc. And Like I've said, he's been building nicely. The last few Grand Prix, he's been matching Isaac Hadjar on pace through practice. We all know where it all sort of comes undone has been on the Saturday with qualifying, and that's where Isaac Hadjar has been lights out. Well, Liam, he nailed it. P6 qualifying and a career best P6 finish. Brilliant. Isaac Hadjar, on the other hand, he was eliminated in Q2. P13 qualifying for him, so he was naturally quite disappointed with that. But he had a pretty decent race. Like, there was a point there where I thought he was going to nab a top 10. Through that mid-stage of the race, he was making some really good progress. He was looking quite pacey, and he was inside the top 10. With about, I think it was about 10 laps to go, 15 laps to go, then the pace really started to fall off. And I thought at that time it was more to do with the cars around him being on fresher tires, but he has come out post-race and he said that there may have been damage on the car, which was detrimental to his performance. So unfortunately for him, finished outside the points in, I believe it was P12. Yes, P12 for Isaac. But for Liam, it was a really good drive. He made the one stopper work alongside Fernando Alonso, and they were basically glued to each other through most of the race. Alonso there was in Liam's DRS for multiple laps through the mid to the end, and Liam was able to hold his nerve and keep the multiple world champion behind. So on the basis of that, top drive for Liam Lawson. We'll kick Sauber, two drivers in the top 10. And well, look, they've been progressing pretty well lately. When you look at the last three or four Grand Prix, they did bring upgrades and they have made notable improvements. Now, Hülkenberg has been great. He's been in multiple points finishes now. He qualified 20, so naturally it was extremely disappointing Saturday, but P9 on the Sunday, you cannot complain with that. Bortoleto, of course, I did say in one of our recent videos that I was expecting a big performance from him. He's class, and well, he showed it. He's picked up his first points. Qualifying, first time in Q3. Off the weekend well. Saturday he was in P8, and of course he finished the race in P8, so he picked up his first point. So well done to the young Brazilian. It was actually getting quite interesting there when he came up behind Fernando Alonso near the end of the race with a few laps to go. And to be honest, if Lando Norris and Piastri weren't coming through and then the blue flags came out, he was definitely a shot of passing his manager. But I don't think Fernando would have let go that position too easily, even if it is Gabriel Bortoleto. Now, speaking of Aston Martin, Fernando Alonso, another brilliant weekend. Eliminated in Q2, just outside, qualified P11, but managed to finish the race in P7. So I think it's the third race in a row now that he's picked up points. He's now on level terms with Lance Stroll, both on 14 points for the Drivers' Championship. So we can no longer make any more jokes about Stroll being the number one driver at Aston Martin, of course. Speaking of Stroll, again, just a disappointing weekend. Yeah, eliminated in Q3, P16 qualifying, and then the race, he basically just didn't feature in anything, P14. So Stroll consistently garbage at the moment. Now, Haas, 1 week in points, 1 week out of points. Well, they have bucked the trend for this week, and Esteban Ocon picked up P10, the last lonely 1 point. Oliver Bearman trailing them home in P11. Now, that wasn't a bad result considering where they started on the grid. Ollie Bearman started P15, and Esteban was actually eliminated Q3 and started off in P17. So from Ocon's perspective, a great recovery drive, and he's been doing really well of late. And again, said it plenty of times, leading the team. Ollie, on the other hand, still just making a few too many mistakes, particularly in the race, but we know how quick he is, and we know that he has a high ceiling and a lot of potential there. Now, onto Alpine. They are a team that is, I think there's going to be a lot of big news coming out of over the next few weeks. We still don't know if it was a 5-race stint for young Argentinian Franco Colapinto. If it was, well, he's just completed his 5-race term. Has he done enough? I'd love to hear your thoughts. If it was just 5 races, I truly believe that I don't think he is quite showing enough. He made a great step in the right direction in Canada last time out, but I think Austria just, it was, again, quite a substandard weekend. But it is kind of hard to gauge because if you look at Gasly, his race on Sunday was pretty terrible as well. Now, from a qualifying perspective, Gasly did a much better job, Q3, P10 in the end, and Franco Colapinto managed P14. But come the race, both drivers were out of contention for points. Colapinto got involved in a few problems of his own with Yuki Tsunoda. There was a moment there where Franco Colapinto forced Oscar Piastri off. Now, he's saying he didn't see him, which I believe. I don't think he saw him at all whatsoever. You would probably argue that perhaps the engineer should have given him the correct info or at least warned him that Piastri was in the mix there while he was fighting with, I believe it was Tsunoda at that point in time. So let's see. Let's see what Flavio Briatore comes out with in the next couple of days. Personally, I'd still love to see Franco on the grid. I think he's a much better driver than he's shown in the last five races. But again, it's Flavio. Flavio will make the big calls and we'll look. Alpine is still last in the Constructors' Championship. Pierre Gasly finished P13, so he went backwards, which when you think about how some of the cars were knocked out, really disappointing race. And he did make a few points on the radio that he wasn't happy with the car. Now, the underachievers for the weekend, definitely Williams. Shocker. I've been praising Williams lately. They've been a team definitely heading in the right direction since 2024. And well, the last few Grand Prix have been just quite terrible for them. Alex Albon, well, he didn't qualify great, P12. And then we had Carlos Sainz, dismal Q3 exit, P19. So really, Carlos just, it was a weekend to forget. But look, after the debacle that was Kimi Antonelli on lap one, Albon, if I remember correctly, he was running as high as P6. So he'd made a great start. He was definitely in the top 10 and there were points on the table. Well, unfortunately for Alex, a third DNF in a row, not through the fault of his own, of course, mechanical problem, and he had to retire the car. And it sounds like it was something very similar to what happened to him in Canada. So Williams off to their home Grand Prix this coming week in Silverstone. Really need to break some of their bad luck, of course. Well, there we have it. The complete roundup of the Austrian Grand Prix. We look forward to the next one in just under a week's time in Silverstone. I'd love to hear your thoughts about Max Verstappen. Do you think this is the end of his title defense? And what about Yuki Tsunoda? Do you think we'll see him in that Red Bull seat come Abu Dhabi at the end of the year? Love to hear your thoughts. And of course, if you like the content, please support us with a like and a sub. And until next time, we'll catch you on the next one.